Now, another way that it causes division is that when you put negative or inappropriate things about somebody else. So, I mean, you know, you're the one that's stroking the keys. Think about what you're going to put before you type it up and put it on there. Think about what can happen to my relationship with this other person.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his message titled, Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
And instead of spending time with his wife, he goes back and he's hooked on this game. And he plays this game, and he spends hours and hours on this game and no time investing in his marriage or in his relationship. Now, I know that there's some of you who can handle, you know, come in, play the game, and then that's it. But there's a whole lot of people that can't. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they told me about this game called, and some of y'all might have to help me, Farm or The Farm, something like that, where it's an online game you start playing. And I mean, it just takes you from one level to the next level. And so that people spend, you know, hours. What was it? Oh, yeah, okay. We all know it. I don't play, so I don't know. but you can get hooked up on these games, and instead of investing in relationships, you know, you're tied into the game. And not only that, but how many, and I hit the men on that one. Let me hit the ladies on this one. How many ladies, wives, are caught up in online affairs? You know, where, you know, they get emotional. Now, there might not be anything physically going on, but emotionally, they have got caught up with another person, and they're having an online affair. So technology can be very destructive to the family. And think about this, not only that, but how many people are dead as a result of somebody texting and driving. See, that's a result of technology. Here is a case where technology has become destructive. And so Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, whatsoever you do, whether you eat, drink, whatever it is, do it all to the glory of God. So as I look at technology, I have to ask myself the question, am I using technology to the glory of God? Or am I allowing technology to destroy my life, my family, and maybe even the lives of those around me? Technology can be deceptive. The Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion. He goes around seeking who he can devour, seeking somebody to deceive. And so when we think about technology, it can be very deceptive. Well, how so? Well, just think about the fact that, you know, some people get their information off of the internet. Some people get their spiritual information off of the internet. And probably a lot of stuff that's floating around out there is wrong. There's all kind of false prophets that are on the internet, and they're spewing out their garbage. They're spewing out their venom. And so people want to, you know, I know when I got sick. When I got sick, I wanted to find out all about my sickness. So I started going to these websites that talked about what I had. And, you know, I tried to go to trusted websites that, you know, I was talking to the doctors, and this is what doctors would recommend, because there's a whole lot of misinformation that's out there. And so you got to be careful and not allow technology to deceive you. And you, for you to get something that's false or that's wrong or even spiritually, again, you know, that's why we need to be discerning. That's why I would recommend people take classes at the Bible Institute so you can understand what the truth is, so that as you're surfing out here online, that you know what the truth is and you're not getting caught up and following a lie. Another thing, another way that the internet can be deceptive is because people get bold, right? You say stuff that you wouldn't say normally, if you were face-to-face with somebody. You know, you post stuff on there that if you were in the prayer, you wouldn't do that. And so it gives you this false boldness. You know, your people all of a sudden, you done transformed from mild-mannered Clark Kent into super internet person, right? And now you got all this boldness. You know, you write an email to somebody. And whereas before, you probably would never say that to that person face-to-face. You put it in an email and you send it to them. And see, the other thing, let me go back and say this, and hopefully some of y'all will get this CD and send it to other people that, you know, because I know y'all don't need it, but you can send it to somebody else. But here's another thing that I wanted to say about it being impersonal, and that is when you send emails, I don't know how many times people have been misunderstood in an email. And the reason is because they can't see your face. They can't see your emotions. They can't hear the inflection. All they have is words on a piece of paper. Now, you try to put those words a certain way. You try to accent them a certain way to get your message across. But I can tell you from firsthand experience that there have been a lot of messages that have been miscommunicated through email that would have been straightened out if the person had been doing it face-to-face. So I'm going to say that right there. And you can take that to the bank and cash it. All right? So the email and technology can be very deceptive. Number seven, technology can bring division between individuals. Psalm 133:1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It says, "Behold, look at it. When brethren are dwelling together in unity, look at it, because it's a beautiful thing. Study it, because this is how it should be." But what does technology do? Technology causes rifts between individuals. Now, I'll say this, and that is, I know because people have told me, all right, and I'm trying to help somebody out here today. Don't put somebody's picture on Facebook without asking. I don't know how many people have come to me and said, "I didn't know my picture was on Facebook. And I didn't like it." And so if you're going to post somebody, now I know, again, I'm getting in trouble. I understand that. But if you're going to post somebody's picture on Facebook, I think you should ask them. "I'm going to put this picture up, and I want you to know." You know, I've had people tell me, "I didn't know my picture." You're at a function, you know, where it might be a family function, might be with friends, and, you know, you're socializing and having a good time. And then the next day somebody calls you and said, "Man, I saw you on Facebook." And you say, "What?" You know, so again, I'm trying to help us out, right? Because, you know, at some point in time, somebody's relationship is going to be hampered because the other person put their picture on Facebook and didn't tell them. So I'm, again, you know, technology, the good, the bad, and we haven't even got to the ugly yet, right? I'm going to try to finish this message because I got to preach another message next week. So I got to get this one in. See, I've told y'all before. See, this is the good thing about being a pastor, right? Like the associates, when they preached last month, right, they had to get it all in because they didn't have next Sunday, right? So I'm going to be I got to take the associate mentality today. I got to preach another message getting ready for the missions conference. So I'm taking the associate mentality. I got to get it all in today. So y'all bear with me, and if you have to leave, that's fine. I gotta, I gotta get this out. People need to hear what I'm getting ready to say. All right. Now, another way that it causes division is that when you put negative or inappropriate things about somebody else. So, I mean, you know, you're the one that's stroking the keys. Think about what you're going to put before you type it up and put it on there. Think about what can happen to my relationship with this other person. And then some people don't care. And I'm going to talk about that in a second because that's a whole nother. That's under the ugly, right? That's under the ugly. But be careful and think about. Proverbs said that the wise man studies how to answer a matter. He thinks about it before he does it. So think about what you're going to do before you just emotionally or arbitrarily put something up there. All right, so now I'm going to finish, and I'm going to go quick on this because I know some of y'all, some of y'all need this, right? All right, the ugly. All right, we've seen the good, the bad, and now the ugly. Now let me preface this by saying, the ugly, I think, if we would just exercise some self-discipline, we could avoid the ugly. And we have two scriptures, Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's walled, that's broken down and without walls. In the ancient world, whenever they founded a city, the first thing they would do would build walls around it. And the reason they built walls around it was for protection and so that they weren't open to all type of attacks. Well, he says that if you don't know how to control your own spirit, then you're like that city. You are open to everything. You are open to all type of attacks. And so you need all of us. I'm speaking from me on down. You know, we need to learn how to discipline ourselves. We need to learn self-control and not allow things to get out of hand in our life. The second scripture that I have is Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. Well, what does that word temperance mean? It means self-control. It means that you need to learn how to control your desires, your appetites, and your passions. It deals with you taking control of your fleshly cravings, and that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you control your passions. God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you control your desires. God has given you the Holy Spirit to help you control your cravings. And so we need to learn self-control, because if not, we're going to find ourselves wrapped up in the ugliness of technology. And so as I go through, and I'll be quick as I can, internet addictions. This is the ugly side. Pornography. Viewing lewdness and nudity. Gambling. Using a credit card to gamble online. Games, playing games that occupy a significant amount of your time. Blogs, writing and spending excessive time sharing your own viewpoints, observations, and experiences about something. Social networking is good. Again, it's fine, but people have abused it. Chat rooms, where people are addicted to chat rooms, live technical conversation with others. And then Facebook. People have posted, said, put videos, pictures of the wrong things on Facebook. So there's this is the ugly side of it. And I said all those things. Now, some of them are not necessarily bad. Pornography and gambling, you know, those are bad. All right. But games, blogs, social networking, chat rooms, faith, those are all good things. But if you get addicted to them, if you don't learn how to take control of yourself, then it's the ugly. Because instead of you being the servant of God that you need to be, you're addicted. Addicted to Facebook, addicted to chat rooms, addicted to social networking, addicted to games, addicted to gambling, addicted to pornography. And according to Dr. Hart, there's brain chemistry that is even stronger. And that's why you need to get this book and read this book. Because I know, again, I'm not a psychologist, and I can't put it the way that he was putting it. But he said that addiction to these things right here, dealing with the brain chemistry, is stronger than addiction to drugs. It's a different kind, but the kind that it is stronger than addiction to drugs. And I said, wow, you know, that's kind of deep to me. And so, you know, you might not be snorting up some coke or crack. You know, you might not be going out here smoking up a reefer, a 20-ounce bag of reefer. You know, you might not be doing that. But your addictions might be actually stronger than people who are addicted to chemical substance if you are addicted to these things right here. So this is the ugly. Number two, and I've been kind of hitting on this throughout the message, and that is the creation of a virtual life opposed to a real life. Some people have become so involved with their virtual life, they have lost the desire for real life. And, you know, I don't know about you, but if you see some of the technology that's out there today, that, you know, you don't need a man and you don't need a woman. I mean, you don't need to be in a relationship. There's stuff out there where you could have the experience of being with a man and have the experience of being with a woman just by putting on one of these helmets and hooking these things up to your body, where now you're feeling all these sensations as if you were with somebody else. And so, you know, here again, now if that's not a trick of the devil, I don't know what is. If that's not a tool of the devil, I don't know what is. The fact that you could have the same experience of being with a person just by technology. And so what happens? People get wrapped up in this virtual world and they disconnect from everything else and they become almost dehumanized. I don't know if you know anybody like that or if you've ever been there yourself, but again, that's not what God created us for. God created us for relationship. When he created Adam, he said, it's not good that man be alone. Let me create a computer for him. Let me create a cell phone for him. It's not good that man be alone. Let me create a helpmate for him. Number three, cyberbullying. People using the internet and cell phones to intimidate, hurt, or embarrass somebody else. Just put in cyberbullying and start reading the stuff that's out there, even to the point where teens have committed suicide because they have been cyberbullied. There was a person who was living a gay lifestyle. And while I don't agree with that lifestyle, I do agree with their right to their privacy. And somebody took a picture of them doing something of a homosexual nature and posted it. And the person couldn't handle it, and they went out and committed suicide. That's cyberbullying. And there are and young people, you know, I implore you, I beg you, don't use technology to bully somebody else. How else do they bully people? They bully people by, and I see this all the time, when couples are together and they take some compromising photos, right? Hopefully none of y'all have done that. And then they break up. And now what does the other person do? They post their picture for everybody to see. That's cyberbullying. You are trying to, you know, this person hurt you or whatever, and you're trying to get back with them, so you take a compromising picture of them, and you blast it out there. Now, I go back to what I said earlier. That's why Paul said, abstain from all appearances of evil. Right? And then you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about some photos, you know, being out there on the internet, inappropriate photos of you on the internet, because you didn't put yourself in that position. Because there are cyber bullies out there. There are people that will bully you. And when I talk about cyber bullying, I'm not just not talking about somebody that, you know, writes, I'm going to beat you up. Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are trying to ruin your reputation. People who are trying to embarrass you. And there's a whole lot of people out there that will do that. And, you know, they have that evilness in them to be able to do that. Here goes another one, sexting. A lot of teens are doing this. And this is where you send sexually explicit messages, videos, and photos through your cell phone. Parents, you need to know what your kids are doing. You need to know what they're doing on that cell phone. You know, are they sexting? Are they sending inappropriate images of themselves to somebody else? Because again, not only is it wrong, but just think about the implications of that. If somebody gets mad at them, which has happened, and they send it out to everybody else. Now the whole football team done seen it. The whole 12th grade done seen it. Why? Because you sexted something to somebody else, and then they sent it out. And now you got to go find another school. You can't go back to that school. You got to go somewhere else. Because you should have listened to that message that Pastor Glaze preached. You know, you should have got that CD and gave it to one of your friends. All right, because now their reputation, they can't even go to school and hold their head up anymore because they've done something like this. And it's happening all the time. They did a survey and they found out that, I can't remember what the percentage, but it was a high percentage of teens that have, at some point in time, that have texted or sexted something to somebody else. Paul said, these things ought not to be. And then let me finish with this one right here. I'm done. And that is the last one, is putting your business on Facebook. Some people put their business on Facebook. And a lot of times, all it's doing is showing, you know, your bad side. You know, Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind. Puts it out there. A wise man keeps it until afterwards. So I have this, and I'm done. But I found this funny video. If you could go ahead and play the video. You know, it's about a minute and a half long. But it says, keep your business off of Facebook. Keep your business off Facebook. You need to keep your business off of Facebook. The things that you say, you're never going to find out about them anyway. You need to keep your business off of Facebook. All right, go ahead, man. Kill that. Sometimes you act like a saint, but your Facebook say you ain't. Keep your business off of Facebook. You know, I pray to God that we as Christians take advantage of the good of technology and not fall prey to the bad and the ugly. And I close with this statement. Somebody said that technology is like money, a wonderful servant, but a cruel master. Just think about that. Money is a wonderful servant, but it's a cruel master. Technology. If you use technology to serve yourself as far in a wholesome way, if you use technology to serve God, it's a wonderful servant. But if you become a victim of technology, it's a cruel, cruel master.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of What the Fool Believes. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Technology, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.